Welcome to ETH, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Here at End Time Headlines, our mission is to inform our listeners of the times and seasons in which we are in. In Luke 21:28, we are told, when you begin to see all these things come to pass, lift up your heads. Your redemption is drawing near. And now, founder and pastor of End Time Headlines, Ricky Scapero.
We're getting ready to get started, guys. So please let me know when you guys hop on here, where you're joining us from, your location, your city. If you're new to the broadcast, please let us know below under the comments. Just type in I'm new or this is my first time. We always like to hear from you as you guys hop onto the broadcast. And if this is your first time, again, we always want to welcome you to the broadcast and thank you for joining us. All right, so tonight I want to talk about how the Apostle Peter's failures gives hope for you and I. Again, this may not be for everybody, but I'm going to tell you something. If you're watching this broadcast tonight by YouTube or by Facebook, and you've been serving the Lord for any amount of time, and you just feel like you can't get things right, it seems like you drop the ball here, you fall here, you're a failure here, you don't come through there, and it seems like you can't get, it's like you, every time you turn around, it seems like you fall short in some area of your ministry, your walk with God, maybe you slip up, you slip of the mouth, you fall back into something, you stumble, you fall, whatever the case may be. We're talking about failures, mishaps, misfortunes, slip-ups. If that's you and you're watching this and you've experienced that, then I want to talk to you tonight because I want to show you that a man by the name of Peter, the Apostle Peter, who wrote 1st and 2nd Peter in the New Testament, he was one of the core guys of Jesus' group, Peter, James, and John. But yet this guy was by far not the picture of perfection. In fact, none of the disciples were. That's the glory of this thing. But I wanted to highlight Peter for a minute because I think when I go through this list, I want to talk about 9 failures of the Apostle Peter. When we cover these, I believe that somebody, if not all of us, is going to fall into this category. And again, why it gives us hope. So number one, we find out, you know, of course, Peter is called into the ministry. He's fishing along with James and John, the sons of Zebedee. He's there. That's what he does for a living. He makes a living fishing. He's minding his own business. The Lord shows up. He does a miracle. He calls him to follow him. And he says, I'll make you fishers of men. So Peter abandons everything, follows the Lord wholeheartedly. Again, follows the Lord, believes in the Lord. He's a disciple of the Lord. He's a follower of the Lord. So he's walking with the Lord. Do I got anybody walking with the Lord tonight? But as you see the progression of Peter's walk, things begin to develop. So the first thing we notice is that Peter doesn't understand parables in the Word. So Jesus is speaking in parables. And Jesus introduces him to the parable of the sower and the seed. Okay, and then he talks about other parables. And one in particular is Matthew 15, 10 through 20. Listen to what it says. And when he called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles him. And then his disciples came to him and said, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. Or in other words, he says, leave them alone. He's talking about the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the teachers of the law. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, they will both fall into a ditch. And then Peter, here he is, he steps up and he says, Lord, explain this parable to us. And Jesus looks at Peter and says, are you still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters into a mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? He's talking about natural food here. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile him. So notice how Peter is one that is highlighted here that did not understand the deep things of God. He didn't understand this. He didn't understand this revelation knowledge. So have you ever been around? Let me give you another example. Peter and the other disciples in Matthew 16:1, Jesus is talking about the beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And the disciples come to him and Peter, and they reason among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Because Jesus says, beware, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he comes to them because of their interpretation of what he told them and says, oh, you have little faith. Why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? But do you not yet understand or remember the five loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you don't understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? And the Bible says, and then they this is in Matthew 16:12. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. So listen, what is this a picture of? This is a picture of believers. We're all on different levels. We're all on different levels of maturity, different growths. That you read the Word of God or you hear the Word of God, maybe in a church service, maybe in a home group meeting, maybe in a cell group, maybe in a Bible study, you're reading the Word. And, you know, have you ever been in a group of individuals and 15 of them, you're in a group of 15 and you're the odd man out and you don't understand the revelation and everybody else got it, but you didn't. Come on, somebody. Everybody else is hooting and hollering and shouting and running around the church because of the revelation of the Word, but yet you're still scratching your head and say, it just went right over my head. I didn't get it. And now the devil will beat you up over that and try to make all kinds of accusations and make you think all kinds of crazy stuff. But the truth is, here's Peter again. On the inside, guys, this is not just anybody. This is not one of the 70. This is the inner core group. Peter, James, and John. And he didn't even understand this. And Jesus had to set him aside and elaborate on it. Okay, number two. So we see here in Matthew 14, verse 22. He tells the disciples, Jesus tells the disciples, get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking upon the sea. Listen to this. And when the disciples saw him walking upon the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. And the reason why they thought that, guys, is there was a tradition then that had passed. It passed down there. It was very familiar with. If you were there in that region, all the fishermen understood this. They became well acquainted with this legend, if you would. It was an urban legend of a ghost walking. If you saw a ghost walking out in the middle of the night on the Sea of Galilee, it means that your boat was going to be capsized or it was going to sink or you was going to die. This is why they cried out in fear, saying, it's a ghost. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come out upon the water. You all know this story. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked upon the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw that the winds was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, saying, oh, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Now look, this is a picture. Again, we can criticize Peter because he tried to be the hot shot and step out and try to walk on water. And it got him to a place where he began to sink and he had to cry out to the Lord. Well, it's kind of like the cup half full, half empty scenario, because you can look at it as Peter was a nut and try to do something ridiculous and step out, or you can look at it from faith's eyes and say, Peter had more faith than everybody on the boat and said, if that's the Lord and he's calling me and that's him telling me to come to him, then I'm not going to stay in my complacency. I'm not going to stay where it's safe. I'm not going to stay where it's secure, but I'm going to step out in faith and I'm going to walk in walk in and walk by faith towards what the Word of God is speaking to me. Now, you may be watching this and you say, well, Brother Ricky, I have that faith like Peter. I'm walking by faith right now. I'm walking out my healing. I'm walking out my financial breakthrough. I'm walking out my marriage restoration. I'm walking out the restoration of my children. I'm walking out that my business would be successful. My church would continue to grow. I'm walking out my miracle by faith, but it seems like I keep sinking. So what? So what if you keep sinking? Are you going to, when you start sinking, the devil will immediately tell you to take your eyes off of the Lord and put them on your circumstance and put them on the winds and put them on, the storm, put them on the water, put them on the thing that's causing you to sink. Or, do you remain in your sinking state crying out saying, help me, Lord? Or do we remember the words of the Lord and saying, oh, you have little faith, why do you doubt? And they got into the boat and the wind ceased. Here's the key, guys. Come on, just keep walking by. The Bible says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. So no, listen, if your friends criticize you because of your walk by faith, then you've got the wrong friends. If your circle, if your inner circle is not willing to get out of the boat and go to where he is, because they're so afraid of the winds and so afraid of the water and so afraid of the storm and so afraid of the circumstances and the imaginations. Remember, there was no ghost on the water. That was an imagination. What's the word of the Lord say? Cast down every, vain imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring it to captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ Jesus. Come on, some of y'all's got to get a better crew to run with, a better circle to run with. So you're not a failure if you've stepped out and you started sinking. Come on, the good news is wherever you're at, whether you're in the boat, in the water, walking on the water, he's there. He's in the boat, he's in the water, he's always there. Even if you start to sink, David said, I will look up, lift up my head to the one in which my help comes from. I will lift up my head unto the hills in which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Come on, somebody. Number three, Peter gets in an argument in Luke chapter 22. Peter is with the disciples and they begin to argue over who is the greatest among them. Come on, somebody. Who's got the most followers? Who's got the biggest ministry? Who's got the most miracles? Who's casting out the most devils? Who's healed the most people? Who's got the greatest influence? Who's the most popular? Come on, somebody. Who is the greatest? Luke 22, now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. Somebody say, but not so among me. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. Come on, the word of the Lord says, he who humbles himself shall be exalted, and he who exalts himself shall be humbled. Come on, just ask Lucifer about that. Listen what he says in verse 27 of Luke 22. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. Jesus saying, look, I am the Lord of lords and the Lord of lords, the King of kings. I am that I am, he which was, which is, and is to come. Come on. I am Alpha and Omega. I am, Come on, I'm the Lord of hosts, Elohim, El Shaddai. I'm Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But Jesus says, I am a servant to all. And because of that, the Lord, my Father, has exalted me to be the greatest. And he says, I am the example to this. Listen to what he says here. So Peter speaks up in a holy moment, So Peter speaks up, and among all of them, again, and begins to argue, about who is greatest in the kingdom. Can you believe this? Who's greatest in the kingdom? Now, I know none of y'all would ever dare to do that. I know no minister would ever try to compete with another minister and try to compare himself or herself. Followers, support, base, platforms, notoriety. Come on. When we start doing that, friends, we are entering into dangerous and treading on dangerous ground. But of all people, I want you to remember this. Peter was involved right there with them in the disciples. Number four, Jesus begins to talk to them in Matthew 16. He says, the Son of Man is getting ready to be suffer. He says, the Son of Man is getting ready to suffer many things from the elders, the chief priests, the scribes. He's going to be beaten. He's going to be scourged. He's going to be ridiculed. He's going to be shamed, and he's going to be killed, but he'll be raised on the third day. And guess who speaks up and tries to rebuke him and says, Lord, these things should not be or shall not be. And Jesus has to interject and rebuke Satan off of Peter. He looks at Peter and says, Satan, get behind me. For the things that you have are not mindful of God, but they are of men. So this is incredible, guys. One moment you've got Peter who has the revelation of who Jesus is. He's the Son of the Most High. He's the Son of the Living God. When he was at Caesar of Philippi, the Lord says, who do you say that I am? And Peter steps up and he says, I believe you're the Son of the Living God. He begins to tell him these things. And then he turns right. He has this revelation that he's the Son of the Living God. He's there. He goes into the house of a servant that's raised from the dead. He goes into a daughter's house who's raised of the dead. Peter's there on the Mount of Transfiguration and sees Moses and Elijah speaking with Jesus. Peter is right there in the midst of all these miracles, these healings, these signs and wonders, these revelations he gets. And then he turns right around and begins to get in the flesh and tries to tell Jesus, you don't have to suffer the way that you're perceiving that you're going to have to suffer. You don't have to go through these trials. You don't have to go through the tribulation. You can have it easy. You can have it, come on, the easy way. Isn't that how our flesh wants? Our flesh always wants the less resistant way. It always wants the easy path. It always wants to go the path of least resistance. But Jesus didn't look. He didn't look at Peter and say, you know what, Peter, you're right. I'm the Son of God. I'm Jesus. I don't have to go through all this thing. I can call down legions of angels right now to spare me from this thing. But he didn't do that, friend. He looked at Peter and rebuked him and said, Peter, you're speaking from the mouth of Satan. Now, how do you think that made Peter feel? Come on, somebody. That's powerful, my friends. That tells me that any one of us, I don't care who you are, what your title is, how long you've been in ministry, if you're a pastor, either a prophet, a teacher, an apostle, an evangelist, I don't care your credentials. I don't care your track record, your history, your reputation. None of these things matter. At the end of the day, we are all susceptible to making mess ups, to making bad judgment, to being mindful of the flesh and not the things of God. And at the end of the day, we have to humble ourselves and say, you know what, guys? I was wrong, and that was me, and that was not God. That was something I conjured up. That was my decision. The Holy Ghost was not in that. Come on. And God will honor that and he'll pick you back up. and he'll put you back on the right track. But my point is, it gives us hope, guys. Look at these failures from the Apostle Peter that gives you and I hope. Here's another one. Jesus begins to elaborate deeper on being a servant. And he pulls out a basin of water and he begins to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel which he was girded with. And he comes to Peter and he says, but Peter says to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I'm doing, you don't understand now, but you will know after this. And Peter said to him, you will never wash my feet. What is Peter saying? That he was too good to be washed by Jesus. Hello? He was too good. You know, Lord, there's a lot of bad people out there that's done some bad things. I mean, after all, there's some people out there that's murdered some folks. There's people out there that's committed adultery. They've raped some folks. They've done all kinds of bad things. But Lord, I've just told a little white lie here and there. I've not really been a bad person. So you can skip me, Lord, and go to them guys, because them guys need a washing a whole lot more than I do. And it's interesting. He says, you'll never wash my feet. And Jesus says, if I don't wash you, you will have no part with me, Peter. And interesting how Peter changes his tone real quick. And he says, quote, verse 9, John 13, 9. And Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. Come on, somebody. Oh, come on. Listen, I know we can translate this in about 5 different ways, but I'm going to tell you how the Lord gave this to me today when I was going over these notes. This is what the Lord gave me today when I was going over these notes. Listen, I don't want a little bit of dabble, do you? I don't want a relationship with the Lord where when somebody says, when did you give your heart to the Lord? Are you right with the Lord? Are you walking upright with Him? Do you have a relationship with Him? Are you in covenant with Him? Are you abiding with Him? And I give an answer that says, yeah, 35 years ago, I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 12 years old, and therefore I know I'm right with the Lord. Yet in your own testimony and your life that testifies for you, you still got the same cussing mouth. Come on, somebody. You're still going to the bars. You're still going to the clubs. You can't get over the alcohol addiction. You're still beating your wife, kicking your dog, cussing out your neighbors, stealing at your work, never showing up on time, can't ever stay after when somebody needs you. Come on, you're not dependable. You're the most untrustworthy individual on the... Come on, somebody. I could go on and on and on. Yet you say, oh, Lord, somebody else needs to be on the altar. Somebody else needs that washing. Somebody else needs that forgiveness. No, friend. Listen, I want to make sure every single day I get up and every single night when I go down, when I get ready to go to bed, when I pray before the Lord, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Forgive me of sins of omission. Forgive me sins of remission. Forgive me. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Forgive me of any things I've spoken, any wrong intentions, motives, things I've done, things I've said. Lord, in Jesus' name, wash me and cleanse me and make me whole. Come on. Well, I'm like Peter, wash my hands, my feet, and my head. Come on, from the top of the old folks said, from the top of the head to the soles of the feet. Can I get a witness, somebody? So, come on, this is representation, guys. There's people out there, I'm telling you, I know them, that they think they've convinced themselves that just because they went to the altar 40 years ago and had a goosebumply feeling and never truly had a heart change, or over the years they backslid, oh, this is going to mess some folks up, and they're living like a devil and no different than anybody else that's walking in sanctification, consecration, they're not, that's set apart, that they have convinced themselves that they're okay with God. Come on. I don't know about you. Listen, you can chance that. You can gamble that. That's between you and God. But as for me, no, sir. I'm not gambling that. I will not gamble that. In the Old Testament, the priest put a lamb on the altar in the morning, and they put one on in the evening. So that's my rule of thumb. All right, so let's move on. Then, here we have a prayer meeting that Jesus is leading. Could you imagine Jesus leading a prayer meeting? And he invites, Peter, James, and John to the prayer meeting. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. Y'all know this. He begins to cry out to the Father, "Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless not my will, but thine be done." So he comes back to the disciples after praying and interceding and finds them sleeping, and he looks at Peter. It says this in Matthew 26, 40. And he comes to the disciples and found them sleeping and says to Peter, "What?" This is what he says. What? Explanation mark. What? "Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation." He's getting on them, guys. "The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." Come on, don't feel bad and condemned out there if you've been to a prayer meeting. Come on, first of all, if you showed up to a prayer meeting, that's better than most Christians do today. Come on, you can call for a Friday night revival meeting, everybody show up. A lot, not everybody, but a lot. Sunday morning, all the crew shows up. You call a Sunday night prayer meeting, call a Thursday night prayer meeting. Is there going to be a word? No. Are we going to have anointed praise and worship? No. Are we going to have a guest speaker? No. Are we going to have food? No. Then what are we doing? We're going to be interceding. We're going to be praying. We're going to be seeking the face of the Father. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. I wish I could tell you the whole church would come and then some. But the truth is the opposite. Come on. You'll get very few to show up. Very few that will show up. Because everybody, listen, I'm telling you, I know this from experience. You will have the smallest crowds when you get down to business and begin to travail in prayer and intercession. You'll have the biggest crowds when you've got the guest speaker that everybody knows and that's going to lay hands on people and they're going to give courtesy drops and they're going to fall out and they're going to get a prophetic word and they're going to get a good feel good, you know, goose bumply encouraging word over them and it's going to make them shout and hoot and holler. You'll get everybody show up for that. But nobody wants to show up for the work behind the scenes that it takes to travail, come on, in the spirit, travail in the atmosphere to make. What people don't realize is it's, you think that the evangelist just shows up and these things happen. No, it's all the prayer and intercession that happened before he ever set foot in the church to begin with. So instead of giving credit to the preacher or to the evangelist that comes behind the pulpit, I'm not discrediting his walk with God. I'm not discrediting the anointing on his life. I'm not discrediting his prayer life. I'm not discrediting any of that. But come on, somebody needs to take some time and go and thank, come on, the intercessors of the church. Come and thank the grannies and the grandfathers and the mamas and the daddies and the elders and those that are coming in to the church when nobody else is there, when the doors are shut. When everybody else is at home watching football games and everybody's out doing their thing and they're there in the church walking up and down the church and walking down the pews and they're beginning to cry out for the Lord and beginning to intercede and beginning to pray and they're beginning to thank God for the souls that are going to be saved and for the healings that's going to take place and for the miracles that are going to be manifest, the breakthroughs that are coming. Come on, they're calling those things that be not as though they were. Come on, they're prophesying into the atmosphere. They're releasing faith. They're releasing hope. They're releasing encouragement, and they're releasing the word of God behind the scenes. And Jesus says, "Here I am, boys. We're getting down to business. And what are you doing? You're sleeping at the wheel." Has anybody ever been guilty? Oh, I know you have. And listen, I have too. We've all been like Peter. When we're supposed to be, come on, praying and fasting, we're feasting and, come on, and playing. Okay? Now, then you go to Matthew 26. Peter is so full of himself and so full of pride in his walk with God that when Jesus begins to tell them, listen to this, but Matthew 26, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. Now, we always pick on Peter, but listen, he says, all of you will be made to stumble this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I've been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. But Peter, it's always Peter, answers and says to him, even if all these, I'm going to paraphrase this. Don't get mad at me. The Bible don't say this, but I'm just going to preach this how I want to preach this tonight. Peter says to him, even if all these jokers over here stumble, Lord, even if these guys, these rookies, come on, they're not up to par where I'm at. After all, I got the revelation that you're the Son of the living God. After all, I was in there at Jairus' daughter's house. I was there when I saw the miracles. I was there when you walked in and you touched my mother-in-law's wife who was laying sick with fever and you raised her up and she began to serve. I was there, Lord. So I'm a step above these guys. And although they all may stumble, I will never be made to stumble. And then he gets a reality check and it says, Peter, I tell you before this night, the rooster will crow three times and you will deny me three times. And Peter still, could you imagine the tenacity this guy's got? The nerve that Peter has. This is the Lord. This is Jesus Christ speaking to him. Tells him, look, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter still has a nerve that says, even if I have to die, I'm not going to deny you. Come on, don't you think you'd be like, all right, Lord, if you say I'm going to deny you, you're God. I don't see how it's going to happen. And I don't want it to happen, but it's obviously going to happen. You would think that's how he would answer that. But come on, how many folks are out there that fall in this category? Come on, you're prayed up. You love God. You love the church. You love people. You love the word. You love everything about serving God. And you're on the mountaintop and you're like, I don't, and you start getting this attitude like, I don't see how sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so ended up falling to the mess they did. I can't believe they got a divorce. I can't believe that that church split down the middle. I can't believe that that daughter got pregnant out of wedlock. Can you believe the pastor fell into adultery? Can you believe the pastor's wife began to do what she did and got on the internet and did what she did? Can you believe they were embezzling all that money? Can you believe so-and-so was here as an associate pastor and turned his back and went back into the bar, back into drinking? Can you believe that elder so-and-so began to smoke weed again? I can't believe it either. Oh, now you blah, 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 blah. And you begin to, you're puffed up with pride and you're so arrogant and you begin to look down on everybody else with your nose and begin to be naive to think that you're so far achieved and so far above everybody else that you are not subject to fall. The Bible says, take heed lest you fall. Let me say it again. Take heed lest you fall. So this is why if I ever start getting that attitude, I begin to do a self-check and a heart check and say, Lord, I can fall just as well as any of these other individuals. I will not look down on my brother. I will not look down on my sister. I will not look down on that man of God or that woman of God, because if it wasn't for your mercy, your grace, your forgiveness, come on, somebody, then I would be in the same position that they are. I don't know. Golly, I just feel this strong. Who is this to tonight? There's two types of people just in this one category. You are the self-righteous Pharisee with your glasses on the end of your nose, looking down at other believers and other church members and other elders and other deacons and other members of the body, of maybe even the leadership, and some things have happened, circumstances have happened, whatever the case may be, and you have joined the stoning committee and you begin to, come on, accuse them and cut them and kick them while they're down, when the Bible instead says, ye who are more spiritual, go and lift one up and restore them unto the faith. So if that's you, friends, you need to repent tonight. You need to repent of that attitude and ask God to forgive you and drop the stones quickly in Jesus' name. But then there's somebody on the other end. And you know who that is? You're the recipient on the other end of the stoning. You have failed. You have stumbled. You have denied the Lord. You have fallen away. You've walked away. You've backslid. Come on. Your heart has become calloused. You've gotten into some things that you should have never gotten into. You've done some things that you should have never done. And the church has handled it wrong. I'm not saying that maybe they excommunicated you, but according to the Bible, if you repent and you get your heart right with the Lord, they should welcome you back into the service. So friends, tonight, if that's you, if your heart's right with the Lord, you got to shake them people off. Guys, don't give up on God because of the, come on, of some accusing Pharisees that are trying to keep you in condemnation and keep stoning you over and over again because of something that's already taking place or a failure that's already happened. Okay, then we get to this next part. Then Peter, here's Peter's backslid. He's outside the courtyard, outside his relationship with God, and he begins to fulfill the prophecy of the Lord and begin to deny the Lord and even curses. Now, again, here, and I don't want to give you this whole, the whole backdrop again of Peter and his resume and his qualifications and what he did for the Lord. But here's a man one minute that's doing all these things for the Lord, and the next minute, come on, he's hanging back out with the sinners, come on, around a campfire, denying that he even knew the Lord, and he's swearing. Come on, how many people you know that were serving God, they had a relationship with God, they were being used by God, they were doing great things for God, and the next minute you know they're not in church anymore, they can't be found, come on, they're backslid, they're back in the bars, they're back in the clubs, they're back into the bondages, back into the addictions, and back into the circles in which they used to run with, they're back into all those things that God delivered. The Bible says, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Come on, be set free in the liberty and wherewith Christ has set us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So if that's you, friends, again, it's not over for you. There's hope. Peter has walked where you've walked. You say, well, you don't understand, preacher. I've got a bottle in my hand right now. The Holy Spirit's not intimidated by that, friend. The Lord's not intimidated by that. I'm smoking a joint right now, preacher. Listening to you. I don't care, and neither does the Lord. The Lord is not intimidated by your sin. The Bible says, even while we were yet sinners, He loved us and gave Himself for us. Come on, somebody. All right? Listen to this. As a result of this, as a result of all these things, watch this. Peter became overwhelmed by his failures. The devil began to beat him up. Oh, you rejected Christ. You denied Him. You left Him. You abandoned Him. You walked away from Him. And as a result of this, you go to John 21. I don't have time for the sake of time. Go to John 21 and you'll discover that Peter went back to his fishing business again. Peter went back to the same lifestyle that God delivered him out of. But listen, I got news for you. I hate to break it to you, but once God brings you out of something that you used to be a part of, it will never be the same again. And Peter learned, listen, go to John 21. You'll discover that Peter was there fishing. He was toiling all night and he caught nothing. Why? Because listen, you can go back to the old lifestyle. You can go back to drinking the alcohol, but the drink will never drink the same again. It will never taste as good as it used to. The buzz will never be as good as it used to be. It will never fulfill like it used to. You can smoke like you used to smoke, but it will never be like it used to be. You can go sleep around all you want, but it will never fill the void. It will never fill, come on, that wholeness that you're looking for, because this is why David said, taste of the Lord and see that He is good, because once you've tasted and seen that He is good, there is no other out there that can fulfill that void in your heart, in your life. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ. So Peter says, the devil convinced him, Peter, just go back to what you used to do, because God is done with you. He's finished with you. You failed him all these times. You denied him. You swore so many times on a campfire. You abandoned him. You try to rebuke him when he said he was going to suffer at the cross. You fell asleep during a prayer meeting. Peter, just give it up. Throw in the towel. Call it quits and go back to your stinking, pathetic, normal life that you used to live. But friends, I got good news for somebody tonight. Somebody may be watching this and you say, my goodness, brother, you just described me to a detail. That's me. That's me. Because you don't know what I've been through. You don't know the things that happened to me, the hurts, the abandonments, the rejections, the failures. And as a result of it, I gave up on church. I gave up on the ministry. I gave up on the teaching position that God called me to. I gave up on being a pastor. I gave up on the prophet that he called me to be, and I went and ran back into the cave. I gave up on the church and on the vision. I gave up on my marriage. I gave up on my children. I gave up on the relationship. I gave up on all of it. I turned my back on it. I turned my back on him, and I abandoned it all, and I'm back in the miry clay, back in the filth and the mar. I'm back into this thing that God delivered me out of. And the devil has convinced you that you've gone too far for God to pull you out of. But I got news for you, because the Bible says in John 21, while they were fishing, come on, while they were fishing, guess who showed up a second time? Jesus, come on, Jesus showed up. And the Bible says in John 21, he showed up. They were all the way out on the river. They were out in the Sea of Galilee fishing, and they were in the boat, and he was all the way on the bank, and he was cooking up some fish, and he was waving to them, hey boys, why don't you cast your net on the other side? It's funny how, man, I feel the Holy Ghost. It's funny how he gave Peter the same word that he gave him all the way back when he first met him. Woo! I feel the Holy Ghost messing with me. Listen, you don't need a new word. You don't need a fresh word. You just need to go back and pull that old dust. You just need to pull that old journal out. My God, I'll preach to myself tonight. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Pull that old journal out and get that old word from the past. Get that old prophetic word that God gave you 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that you never seen it come to pass. You never saw it fulfilled. But the devil's told you it's too late. It's over. It's a failure. Call it quits. It's done. Throw in the towel. Come on, you don't need a fresh word. You don't need a new word tonight. You need to contend for the word that God has already given you, Peter. I'm going to tell you the same word that I gave you before when I met you, James and John and everybody else. I said, cast your net on the other side. And Peter, the Bible says he did. He obeyed. And guess what? It was fruitful. He pulled up the fish. And when he did that, something clicked on the inside of him. When something clicked, when the light bulb went off, his spirit was rejuvenated. He said, my Lord and my God. And the Bible says he dropped the nets and he jumped out of the boat and he swam to the Lord. Whew. Come on, that's a word for somebody tonight, friends. I'm telling you, that's a word for somebody. Somebody needs to hear this tonight. I don't know who this word is to. But you came by tonight and you thought I was going to give you a word. Listen, you want a word? You use the word. You use the rhema that God's already given you in seasons past. I don't know the date on it. I don't know the time frame on it. I don't know if you got to pull out your phone, your tablet, your desktop, your laptop, your journal, your Bible, a notepad. You got to find that word. Paul told Timothy, with the prophecies that's been spoken over you, wage a good warfare with them. You got to pull them things out. And when you begin to speak those words out, you begin to speak that which God has already spoken to you in times past. Listen, Jesus said, my words are life and they are spirit and they quicken. They make alive. Come on. He's speaking to you. And as you begin to receive that word tonight, Something on the inside is going to raise the dead man on the inside of you again. Life is coming back. Rejuvenation is coming back. Come on. Revelation is coming back. Inspiration is coming back. Encouragement's coming back. Come on. You're going to rise up. Come on, Peter, you're going to rise up and you're going to finish what God has begun in you. I want to go down here. Listen to this. In Mark 16, see, this is what I'm trying to emphasize to you. When Mary Magdalene, the mother of James, brought the spices to anoint the Lord, when he had already been, come on, he was crucified, he was buried, they put him in the tomb. There was a stone that covered the tomb. And the Bible says when she showed up, the stone had been rolled away. And when she entered the tomb, she saw a young man clothed in long white robes sitting at the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified, for he is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." But listen to this. "Go and tell his disciples and Peter." I've loved this. This is one of my favorite passages because notice it says, "Tell his disciples and Peter." Well, hello, Peter's a disciple too. Peter's a disciple. Why did he say disciples and Peter? Because Peter needed the word of encouragement. He wanted to emphasize, listen, I want you to especially let Peter know that I am risen. And everything that I've spoken, everything that I predicted, everything that I prophesied, whether it be events dealing with Jerusalem, dealing with Israel, dealing, come on, with the second coming of the Lord, all the way to personal words that I have spoken. Tell him I am risen. So you go, I'm going to go back up here and then I'm going to finish, guys. John 21. Listen to what it says. John 21. So when they had, this is John 21, 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus says to Peter, "Son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" This is when he went through all this. This is when Peter was restored. And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." And he said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." And this he spoke, signifying but what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." And guys, the Fox's Book of Martyrs tells us by early church documentation that Peter, when it came time for the martyrs of the early church, Peter chose to be crucified upside down on a cross because he felt not worthy enough to be crucified in the same manner in which his Lord was crucified. You can do the research and discover that. What I'm trying to tell you, listen, he gave him a prophecy. He said, "You would not die young, but you would die old." But he told him of how he was going to die. I'm trying to tell you, friends, I don't know who this word is to tonight. It might be a word for me. Listen, I'm not going to reveal everything to you guys, but I'm telling you, attacks come and go, even on my own walk with the Lord, my own ministry, my own family. And there's times when the enemy will try to embellish imaginations and vain things and fiery darts and trials in the flesh and the mind. And as these things come, guys, I have to walk out what I'm preaching to you. I have to get the journal out. I have to get the word out. I have to encourage myself in the Lord that he who began a good work in me is faithful, who will finish it and complete it until the time of the end. Come on, somebody. So I don't know who this is to tonight, but it is not too late for you, my friend. You've not gone too far. You've not gone too deep, and it's not been too far out. I don't know what you're in and what your circumstances are. But friends, I'm going to tell you something. If Peter, a man who was on the inside, had inside connections with the Lord Jesus Christ when he walked the earth, messed up that many times to the point where he walked away from the Lord, and the Lord restored him and used him as a pillar in the New Testament church. Friend, then stop making excuses. Stop listening to the voice of the devil. Stop listening to other people. Stop listening to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the teachers of the law. Come on, stop listening to all those lies and get into the Word and listen to what the Spirit of Almighty God is speaking to you tonight, saying you are not finished, but you're going to finish what the Lord has begun in you, in Jesus' name. Let me pray for you guys as we close out tonight. Father, I thank you for this word that you've given me and put on my heart tonight. Lord, not only do I pray that those who are listening under the sound of my voice would receive this tonight, but Father, help me to receive this tonight for my own walk with you, God. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you are faithful. God, that you are loyal, God. You are trustworthy, oh God. Lord, you're the same God that brought us out in times past, that will brought us out, that will bring us out in times future. Lord, I thank you. You're the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God, I thank you that despite what an individual has done here tonight, Lord, you know the things in which they've done, but you also, Lord, we know the Word of God, that you said that you're faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, that you can wash us, that we can be cleansed and we can be whole and we can be made in right standing with you tonight. And we can have a clean slate with you. And Lord, that we can get back in our rightful positions in which you have positioned us and placed us and destined for us to be and fulfill our calling and our purpose on our lives. In Jesus' name, Father, I thank you. And Lord, I pray that our friends and family tonight would receive this word by faith. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you guys again. If you'd like to know more about our ministry and how to support it, how to follow us, how to subscribe to us, you can on YouTube, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. There's a website link you can click on. You guys that are on Facebook, there's a link right there under the Facebook description under where it says follow and support us. You can click on there. And it's going to lead you to the website. It's going to lead you to the page. And you're going to see places on there you can subscribe. You can get push notifications. And if you'd like to support this ministry with a gift of any amount, whether it's a one-time gift, a monthly partnership, however the Lord puts on your heart to partner with us and to be a blessing to this ministry as we continue to bless you. We ask that you be obedient to the Holy Ghost, be obedient to the Spirit of God, and He will bless you in return 30, 60, and 100-fold. So we love you guys. God bless you. Listen, guys, as we pray for you, keep Brother Ricky in prayer. I need your prayers. I covet your prayers physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and financially. So I appreciate that. And listen, pray in the Holy Ghost, Romans 8. Pray in the Spirit, Jude 1:7. Pray in the Holy Ghost. And as the Lord gives you a word to pray for me as He directs you, you be obedient to that and you pray for Brother Ricky and intercede for me and for my family and for this ministry. So we love you guys. God bless you. We'll see you soon.